Hello and welcome. Tonight our topic is conscious dating, how to connect to your life vision.
The way to get the outline, the study guide for tonight's call, is to go to consciousdating.com/vision.htm.
I'm Frankie Dorn. I'm the president of Relationship Coaching Network, and my co-presenter, of course, is David Steele, who's the founder of Relationship Coaching Institute, and he's also the author of Conscious Dating, Finding the Love of Your Life in Today's World. Our mission is to do everything in our power to help you find your life partner, and we're very serious about our commitment to helping you find and have a fulfilling relationship. And so we're really excited that you're here with us this evening. In tonight's program, we'll be discussing life vision and why having one is really going to provide you with the framework you need for living a successful life. And so tonight, you'll learn why being clear about your life vision is really the key to your future happiness, why most people aren't aware of their life vision and the disturbing consequences of that, how to identify the limiting beliefs that hold you back from uncovering your life vision, why self-prioritization is your compass to leading a fulfilled life, the five-step process that we believe will help you connect with your life vision and goals, and a whole bunch more. So, David, let's begin by defining life vision. What is it?
Well, your vision is your inner guidance system. It is images in your head, in your mind, of the kind of life and relationship that you want. And what I've learned is that it really guides your choices. It's your inner guidance system to the point where it leads you towards certain choices. It tells you that this particular choice is what you want and it's good for you and it's right for you and it feels good. And it leads you away from other choices like, well, this doesn't fit or this isn't right or I don't want that. And this is not totally rational. It's not like you're evaluating every choice in your head with a cost-benefit analysis. It's about how it feels and how it matches with the inner image in your head of the kind of life, the kind of relationship you want, the kind of outcome that you want. So the choice that you identify that will get you the outcome you want, you're drawn towards and feels good to you. And the choice that you identify that will take you away from that, you don't want. And some things that I've learned about vision that's pretty interesting, and of course this is my belief, which is you don't really choose it. I mean, it's already inside you. You discover it. And it's kind of like an iceberg where at any one point we're typically aware of the tip, you know, like the top 10%, and there is a whole lot more. And the thing about vision is the clearer you are about it, the more you lower the waterline and get in touch with the rest of the 90% that you can't see, then it becomes far easier to achieve your vision because the choices and resources needed to achieve that vision just appear. They become so clear. They're right in front of you. And if you're not so clear about your vision, then it's more opaque, it's obscure, it's harder to see. And, you know, life seems a heck of a lot more confusing and you feel a lot more helpless about your life and achieving your vision. So it really is a very empowering concept. I've seen this over and over again when we do our conscious dating program with singles. We start off with vision. It's the very first thing we do. In the coaching field, this is usually the first thing that coaches do with their clients, is who are you? What do you want? What do you want that to look like? And the clearer you get about it, the more apparent the resources and choices come to how to do that. And it becomes like falling off a log. It's really that easy. And the law of attraction really, really kicks in and helps you. Another thing about vision that I've discovered is that it's empowering, it's exciting, it gives you energy. So if you've ever felt depressed or like a failure or inadequate when things didn't go your way, it's because you're feeling discouraged and you're not achieving your vision. Well, there's nothing like success. And when you're in touch with what your vision is and you start experiencing some success, some small baby steps towards achieving your vision, then it feels great. You get lots of energy from that. It makes you way more powerful. And the law of attraction really, really kicks in and helps you when you're clear about your vision and you're in motion towards achieving it. So that's a bit about, you know, to introduce you to vision. On page one of your study guide, just to make sure that we're clear so you can fill in the blanks, you do not choose your vision, you discover it. You do not have control over it. Your vision is an inseparable aspect of who you are and serves as your inner guidance system, driving you towards certain choices and away from other choices.
The analogy I like to use around vision and life purpose and life goals is you're either a passenger in your life or you're driving the car. And when you have a life vision and you're in control, you can steer that car wherever you want to go because you know where you're going. You've got the vision. And so, as you said, David, it's a very empowering feeling. There's a lot of energy because you're in control. And that feels great. Now, I think what's really surprising is that a lot of people don't have a clear life vision. And if you think about why that's so, many of us are taught, when we're very young, we're taught about the external world and how we're supposed to fit into it. Okay, we're not taught about the importance of self and self-realization. And most people think in terms of, you know, what's the external perspective? What do others think about me? What do I need to do to conform so that I'm accepted by others? So it's that external perception of the world. But they don't think in terms of what will bring me joy and fulfillment. They look really at life from the outside in instead of from the inside out, if that makes sense. And so we're not taught about relationships in school, and we're not taught about the importance of self-prioritization. As a matter of fact, anytime we attempt to express our aspirations or put ourselves first, we're often accused of being selfish. And so we've been trained to put others first and ourselves second or even last. And we're told that, you know, we're supposed to compromise. And I hear that all the time when I lead workshops. Students ask me, well, what about compromise? Aren't we supposed to compromise in a relationship? And so we're taught to do that, and we're taught to lower our expectations and to settle for what we have. And so people, consequently, they learn to dream really small. And often it's because they don't feel they deserve more or they have low self-esteem.
Frankie, the interesting thing is, even though it's a survival mechanism and they're coping or adapting that way, mm-hmm. you know, they think they have to compromise, they think they have to settle or let go of what they really want. Because your vision lives inside you and it doesn't really ever go away, you're not ever happy.
Exactly.
And it bugs you.
Yep.
And it continues to bug you, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you just have to leave the relationship, or you drown it in alcohol or drugs. It's just so powerful that it needs to express itself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't feel good. You're not happy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the reason that so many people are unhappy and are searching is because this dream has been knocked out of them or dumbed down, and you're railing against it. You know, there's something inside of you, as you said, David, that's just saying, this is not what I want. I don't know what it is I want, but this is not what I want, you know, whatever the situation is that they're in. And so you start to look in the wrong places for answers. Instead of looking inside and trying to tap into what you really want, people often seek solutions outside of themselves, and they're not successful. So if you can relate to anything that David and I have just said, you know, this is a wake-up call, because it's time to wake up while you still have time to create and live the life you deserve, because life's too precious and it's too short. And so don't wait until it's too late. Give yourself permission to find and then let out your big dream. There's a big dream inside each of us. And when you understand that your life is all about you, that you really are the center of your universe, you will begin to get some clarity around how you want your life to unfold, and you'll be able to develop your vision and identify your life goals. And suddenly, miraculously, you'll feel in alignment and on purpose, and your path will become clear because you've identified the destination and you've opened the roadmap and you've moved into that driver's seat that I said before. And David, you know, I know you've seen this too. It's really amazing to see the reaction of someone who suddenly realizes that they have the right to give themselves permission to live their life exactly the way they want. And when that light goes on, as you said, there's so much energy, and the hope that these people feel is just palpable.
Oh, yeah, and when it happens, get out of the way.
Absolutely. So why don't we talk about limiting beliefs? Because that really plays a part in holding back people from their life vision, from achieving their life vision.
But before we do, just to summarize and make sure that you can fill in the blanks on your study guide on page one, in the middle of page one of your study guide, most people think in terms of the external perspective. What do others think about me? What do I need to do to conform so I am accepted? They don't think in terms of what will bring me joy and fulfillment. They look at life from the outside in instead of from the inside out. Give yourself permission to find and let your big dream out. And of course, your big dream is your vision. Being clear on your vision and purpose is just one of the many tools that will help you determine whether you and a potential partner are, guess what, compatible. So, turning the page to page number two of the study guide, limiting beliefs. And limiting beliefs are really attitudes. Attitudes are internal stories that you tell yourself. They are a system of beliefs. And attitude precedes outcome, what you believe you can achieve, and vice versa. If you don't believe you can do it, you won't be able to do it. Isn't it Henry Ford that said, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. This is really so critically important. It's everything. It's the difference between being successful and achieving your vision or not being successful and being unhappy. It is absolutely the difference, so it is really, really, really important. Attitude precedes outcome. So I'd like to share with you some steps for eliminating limiting beliefs. Before I do, let's cover some examples of what limiting beliefs might be, especially in relationships. Some limiting beliefs about yourself. You might think, I'm just not good enough. Or I don't deserve love. I don't deserve to be happy. I'm not attractive enough. I'm not successful enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not blank enough. I mean, most people feel that way about themselves. Or, I'm too blank. I'm too old. I'm too unattractive. You know, I'm too unsuccessful. I'm too late. And we have limiting beliefs about dating. And in our conscious dating seminars and our conscious dating teleclinic, we come across them all the time. And Frankie and I are not, you know, superhumans. We experience these ourselves sometimes. And so examples might be, all the good ones are taken. You know, there's nobody left over. I'll never find my soulmate because all the good ones are taken. They're either dead or in a relationship. Or, I have to take what I can get or be alone, which is a big one. That's the main reason why most people settle. It's like, well, it's either this relationship or nothing. My ideal partner doesn't exist or is already taken. Well, that'll limit you in dating. There's no such thing as a soulmate or a true love. Well, that's self-fulfilling. If I ever heard a self-fulfilling prophecy, you will not experience true love or find your soulmate if you believe that. And here's a big one. I must be realistic in my expectations. And then about relationships, we have limiting beliefs like, I'll be rejected if I ask for what I want. I'll be abandoned if I care too much. I will hurt the one I love. I will be smothered or controlled. I will lose myself. I will be hurt if I trust. If you really know me, you won't like me or love me. These are really powerful beliefs that we carry around in our life and our relationships. A lot of the times we're not aware of them. And in terms of eliminating limiting beliefs, awareness is the first step. And how can you become aware of something? Well, guess what? Your relationships are your mirrors. Your life, everything that happens in your life, is mirroring what's inside you. Because what's inside you shows up on the outside in some way. So what happens in your life, and what are the patterns in your life? What are your choices, your behavior patterns of how you show up regularly? How do you feel on a regular basis, and how do you act that out? And what are the results that you typically get? All of those are clues. If you listen carefully, if you pay attention, it'll be very, very clear what your limiting beliefs are. And so the first step is becoming aware. If this is tough for you, then talk it over with a friend or get a coach or a therapist or a counselor and say, you know what, I really want to be able to get out of my own way. I want to identify and eliminate my limiting beliefs because my life isn't working and I'm not quite sure why. So don't be afraid to ask for help and support. Would you rather ask or would you rather be miserable? If it means making a dramatic change in your life, then go ahead and ask. Put yourself in that position. Admit that there's things you need to learn and know and get a handle on. So step one to eliminating limiting beliefs is awareness, and that can be a bit tough, but it's completely doable. Then step two is to identify exactly what limiting belief is. Put language to it. And so let's say that you notice that every time you ask somebody out for a date, you get rejected. And say, what is going on? Well, I guarantee you there's a limiting belief going on there somehow, somewhere. And so step one would be that you're aware that there is a limiting belief operating, because every time you ask somebody out, you get rejected. So step two would be to identify what that limiting belief might be. For example, let's say you have the limiting belief that, well, nobody that I would want to go out with would really want to go out with me. And, of course, this comes from low self-esteem. It comes from past experiences, you know, where you've been hurt. And so let's say you identify this, and let's say you write it down. Nobody that I really want to go out with would really want to go out with me. And how does that feel for you? How does that resonate for you? If it resonates pretty strongly, I mean, you can give it a number, like on a scale from 0 to 10. You know, how true does that feel for you, that that's what's going on inside you? Ooh, it feels strong. It feels like a 10, or it feels like an 8. If it's a 5 or a 6, then change the wording a little bit until you can nail it to be, you know, an 8, 9, or 10. So you want to identify that limiting belief, put language to it, and then check in with your gut of how true it feels for you that this is what's going on. And then step three is to choose a replacement for that belief. So let's say you identify a limiting belief of, well, you know, nobody that I would want to go out with would want to go out with me. And you can choose a replacement and say, well, you know what, I'm the chooser in my life. I'm going to ask people out who are attracted to me. And if they reject me, they are doing me a favor. They are eliminating themselves as a candidate for my affection. And so you play with it, and you word something that feels powerful for you, that you can really believe in, that rings true for you. And again, give it a score. You're shooting for an 8, 9, or 10, something that really feels strong to you. So choose a replacement. And then step four is to practice that replacement. Use it as an affirmation. As often as you can, as often as it occurs to you, just tell yourself that affirmation, that, you know, I'm a wonderful person, and I'm going to ask out people I'm attracted to. If they say no, they're doing me a favor. They're eliminating themselves so I can find my soulmate. So use it as an affirmation. Practice it, especially in the situations that it tends to occur. For example, if you are about to ask somebody out, that might be the time to especially practice your replacement belief or affirmation. And the more you practice it, the more natural it'll feel. It becomes internalized. However, the way to really make it natural and really internalize it is step five, which is to take action about it. Take action in alignment with the new belief. So it's not enough just to think it. You have to do it. And so if you really want to eliminate a limiting belief and replace it with a more positive, powerful belief, then not only will you identify what it is, choose a replacement for it, practice it, but you will take action about it. For example, in this case, you might decide, you know what, I'm going to ask out two people a day. Even if I don't really want to go out with them, I'm just going to do it for the practice. I'm going to ask people out, you know, as much as I can. And you go ahead and do that, because you want this to become natural. You want to internalize it. Internalization means that you take something that is new to you and feels kind of awkward, and you are able to internalize it and learn it until it becomes natural. It's part of you. It's just normal for you. So those are five steps to eliminating limiting beliefs. Frankie?
I just want to add, David, that a real good clue that you're dealing with a limiting belief is that it's negative. It's not a positive thought.
That sounds so obvious, but it's true. Never thought of it that way.
I want to talk a little bit about people not prioritizing themselves. And because I want to be really clear that self-prioritization is not about being selfish. Okay, it really isn't. It means that you acknowledge that you have a responsibility to yourself to live the life that you were meant to live. And it's about development and your right to development and to live a full and fruitful life. And to express, to do, to be, and to have everything that you were supposed to have. And it means you take accountability for being in the fullness of you. Without apology or feeling embarrassment, because no matter what, you're living and honoring your truth. And that goes to authenticity, which I'm going to talk about in a couple of minutes as well. But just imagine for a moment that you were compelled to act in a manner that would always serve your highest purpose or goals. And so every time you did something that was in alignment with those goals, you'd get this wonderful jolt of pleasure. It would be just amazing. And every time you did something that was in opposition to your goals, you'd get a jolt of pain. Well, we'd all learn pretty quickly to stay on target with our goals, wouldn't we? It's like Pavlov's dog. You'd learn how to salivate because that you're supposed to be in alignment with what your life vision and your life purpose. And I know it's cliche to say that you only have one life to live, because we do. No matter what, you know, your belief system, what you can be guaranteed of is that you do have this life to live. So decide how you want to live it. Be accountable for your life. Do you want it to be an expression of what other people think? Do you want to take time to figure out what gives you those jolts of pleasure and make decisions and take actions that are in alignment with that joy rather than those jolts of pain? And one of the principles of conscious dating is being authentic. And this really talks to being authentic, because with authenticity comes a lot of freedom, tremendous freedom. And it begins with knowing what you want in life and in your love relationships. And that, coincidentally, leads to another conscious dating principle, which is being the chooser. Because the chooser's perspective is most definitely from the inside looking out. It's not about other people and what they want. It's about you. You're choosing to make the choices and to take action, as David said earlier, take action based on how you want to live your life. So this is really critical, this self-prioritization and being in the fullness of you and just being you and living your life based on what you want.
And it's not selfish.
No, it's not. It's not. So, David, let's talk about the five steps to creating your life vision. Do you want to cover step one?
Okay. So, this is on page 3 of your study guide, 5 steps to creating a life vision. Step one is uncovering what is hidden. There are 2 areas that you need to uncover. They are your hopes and dreams and your limiting beliefs. And we talked a lot about limiting beliefs and your hopes and dreams. You know, that's your vision. That's like the iceberg. You know, it's funny when I talk to singles and they say, well, yeah, conscious dating, first step is being clear about who you are and what you want. Almost always somebody will pipe up and say, I know who I am. I know what I want. And I can guarantee you that if they are not already successful, if they are already not living the life they want, they are not totally clear about who they are and what they want. So as a speaker or a coach, it's pretty easy for me to ask a few questions and to uncover some things that they weren't even aware of. You know, one of my favorite ways to do that is talking about requirements and how they're different from needs and they're different from wants. And every single has their list, and we think we know what our requirements are. So I'll ask you, well, what broke up your last relationship? What are some of the reasons it didn't work out? And then we'll go through a process of uncovering which of those reasons was a requirement, a need, and a want. And within 2 minutes, maximum 5, most singles that I'm talking to having this conversation, you know, their eyes light up and their mouth drops open and go, oh, I get it now. Wow, I got a lot to learn about all this. But it's kind of like the iceberg. When all we can see is the 10% at the top and we assume that's all there is, then of course we think we know who we are and what we want. But there's that 90% that is hidden that our success depends upon. Our success depends upon uncovering it and becoming clearer about it. So yes, we have hopes and dreams, but you know what? You have a big dream. You have a vision. The more clear you are about it, the easier it will be to attain it. The resources and choices needed to attain it will just come to you. The law of attraction will help you. And your limiting beliefs, you got them. You better believe it. Otherwise, you would already be successful. Think about it. You would already be successful if you weren't getting in your own way somehow. And so a few simple exercises that can help you become more in tune with your vision and your goals and your dreams. One of our favorites that we like to do is a collage of images and words that resonate with you. Get a bunch of magazines and spread them out and cut out pictures that, you know, really strike you. Say, yeah, I want that, and yeah, I really like that. And put them together in a collage. It really helps you get in touch with who you are and what you want at a level that is deeper than the surface. Believe it or not, even if you're not artistic, you say, oh, I don't want to cut out pictures out of magazines. I don't know. I don't want to bother with that. Well, try it. You'll be surprised. One of our favorite exercises in our conscious dating program is making a list of 100 things that you'd like to do, be, and have. Now, for most people, the first 20, 30, 40, 50 is easy. They knock them off. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, I want a big house and I want a vacation home in the Bahamas. I want this kind of car. I want this and this and this. And I want to do this and I want to be like this. And the real gold comes when you run out of those and say, okay, well, I got 70. The real gold comes when you start peeling away the layers of the onion and getting in touch with what else it is you really want that you aren't even aware of. Now you got to peel away those top layers first to get to them. So it's a great exercise, and everybody can come up with 100. But I haven't met anybody that can come up with them in one sitting. Typically,
that's
it requires
true.
Some thought. It requires getting stuck at around somewhere between 50 and 70 for most people.
This is a good exercise to look for patterns, because if you have 100 things that you'd like to do, be, and have, there are going to be patterns. There's going to be some repetition, some themes, some common themes that are throughout your list. So pay attention to what's, as you said, what's underlying.
And then another thing you can do is identifying your top 5 values. If you were to make a list of values of the things that are important to you, you know, go ahead and make that list. And make it as long a list as you can. Things that are important to you, your values. And then comes the hard part, narrowing it down to your top 5. Now, they're all important, but if you had to choose one over another, that gives you important information about who you are, what you want, what your purpose is, what's really, really important to you. So wouldn't it be nice to know what your core values are? What are your top 5 values out of all the possible values that you hold? So it's a great exercise for getting more in tune with your vision. And then your limiting beliefs, we talked about the 5 steps for eliminating limiting beliefs already. And, you know, one thing you can do as an exercise is to get a piece of paper and draw a line in the middle, and so you have 2 columns. And the first column, identify what you like about your life. And in the second column, identify what you don't like about your life. And this is a really interesting exercise. You have a list right in front of you. These are the things that are working for me, that are on track with my vision. These are the things that are not working for me, that are not on track with my vision. And you will learn a lot about yourself, about where you are in your life, and the things that don't work for you, the things you don't like. There's actually a lot of golden information there. Like, let's say that one of your values is you're non-material. I mean, this is me. I'm just a non-material guy. I just don't care, you know, about having fancy clothes or fancy car or fancy house or whatever. You know, just the basics for me, that's fine. Thank you very much. So I value being non-material. I value things like making a difference in the world and being a good dad and being a good partner. You know, I'm a non-material kind of guy. At least that's what I tell myself. However, if I were to make a list of things I don't like about my life, I don't like worrying about finances. I don't like worrying about retirement. I don't like worrying about, am I going to be able to pay my bills? And I'm sure a lot of you can identify with this. And so if that's something I don't like about my life, then what does that tell me about my non-material values? Well, you know, I'm material enough to care about that. So even though I might be non-material in my self-image, you know, I need to pay attention to my finances. I need to generate a certain amount of income. I need to value that enough so that then I can like and feel comfortable with that area of my life. So the things that you don't like, they are gold. They give you a whole lot of information. Another exercise you can try is to write out your beliefs about the key areas of your life. And so if you take a look at your values, you just make a list of the significant areas of your life like family or money or school or relationships or friends, and then create a sentence out of each one. So use it as a sentence stem. So money is, and then complete the sentence. Friends are, and complete the sentence. Relationships are, complete the sentence. My job is, complete the sentence. This really brings out a lot of what's going on inside you. It's kind of akin to what coaches do when we're working with a client, is a lot of what we do is we will ask you questions that help you dig deeper and deeper and deeper into what your truth is and your wisdom. Typically, coaches don't just give you the answers. We help you find the answers, and typically they're already inside you. Well, this is akin to you asking yourself the questions. You're creating sentence stems. You're filling in the blanks. You will learn things about yourself that you weren't even aware of, believe it or not.
Very true. And you know the two questions I really love, David, the two question stems, I can't, and I'm afraid people will find out. What you discover about yourself by completing those sentences is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Very revealing. Well, let's talk about step two.
Okay. This is on page 4, everybody, of your study guide. Step 2 for creating your life vision.
And it's defining and analyzing the gap. So really, the gap is between where you're going and where you are. So that's why you need to figure out what's the gap between your life as it exists and this big vision of what you want it to be. So as part of step 1, we assessed our lives based on what we like about it and what we don't like about it. So now it's time to analyze what these exercises reveal to us. And it may be obvious, may not be. A good example of something that's really obvious, and this does happen a lot of times, but the example I'm going to use is imagine that you're an accountant and you work in an office cubicle. So a little 5x5 little box with no windows and a 40-hour work week. If you did your list of I like, the first exercise that David talked about where you list everything you like about your life and everything you don't like, you might like that weekends and evenings you can spend some time gardening and doing some physical labor. You might like that you enjoy planning and designing outdoor water features for your family and friends. You might like collaborating and creating with your wife in this hobby. And then when you look at your don't like list, maybe some things like commuting to work each way for an hour and a half on the freeway is one of the things you don't like. Or sitting at your desk for 40 hours a week, grinding out numbers and spreadsheets. And maybe even you don't like the isolation of working alone in a cubicle all day long. So you look at these two lists and you say, what is this telling me? How do I assess what's going on in my life? Well, it's pretty evident that your job is not fulfilling. And it's rather isolating and it's limiting. But it also reveals you have a passion that lies in another area that requires some physical labor and even collaboration, and it has a really creative and aesthetic aspect to it. So going deeper, you might realize that your life vision could be about creating beautiful garden landscape designs in which you design and you build the projects with a team because you like to collaborate. So you're seeing the gap between where you are and where you'd like to be. And so in this case, it's really huge, but sometimes it's not that huge. And the differences are going to yield some slight insights, little minor insights, but they could have a great impact in your life. Because with every insight comes choices. And from those choices, you take action, and then action leads to change. And a really good example that I'd like to share with you is one of my clients. He was so nervous before his dates, and I think I've told this story before. He would become physically ill, and his nervousness became such a real problem for him. It actually immobilized him, and his fear of rejection resulted in him coming across on a date as very stiff, humorless, and he was a total boring date. And he admitted this. He said, I'm horrible. I'm just like a stiff. I can't talk. I'm sweating. And he just had no confidence, and it was apparent to the people he was dating. And so the dates were never going into a second date. But when the pressure was off of him, he was really, truly a funny and charming man. And so when he looked at what he didn't like this about what was happening with himself, he realized that he would never achieve his goal of finding a great partner if he didn't release this fear of outcomes. And so he was able to dig deep and discover that this particular limiting belief was about lack of self-worth. And so that was at the bottom of his behavior. And so once he realized this, he was able to work with me to change those patterns. And his transformation was really and truly amazing. And it had been about a month since I had seen him after we'd gone through this process, and he'd been out there practicing the new him. And David, I was shocked, really, to see there were physical changes in this man. He stood taller and straighter. Even his jaw seemed more prominent and manly. I know it's very bizarre, but I said, did you get a jaw transplant? Like, you're, wow, you know, you're so manly and just so confident. What the heck's going on? And his gaze was direct. And so he transitioned into the man he wanted to be because he realized that he needed to make changes because he wanted to realize his vision. And so he made them.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing, is that you can do it simply by choosing to do it.
Yes.
It's not preordained that you have to believe certain things or you have to do certain things or you have to be a certain way. You can be different simply by choosing to do it. Great example of that.
Yeah, very true. So let's move on to step 3.
Okay, so we're covering 5 steps to creating life vision. Step 1 is uncovering what is hidden, your hopes and dreams and your limiting beliefs. Step 2, as Frankie just covered, is defining and analyzing the gap between where you are and where you want to be. Step 3, on page 4 of your study guide, is clarifying the vision. And we talked about some different ways to do that. Once you know a lot about your vision, then we suggest that you write a narrative about it that describes your vision and, you know, what you're doing in it and what your life is like. Write out your perfect life as you know it in your vision. And make it real by bringing in all 5 senses into the story. You know, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're feeling, what you're tasting, what you're touching. So the more real it is, the more tangible it feels to you, then the more powerful it will be. And go over and rate every sentence of your narrative out of 10. So give it a score and ask yourself, does this make me feel joyful and excited about my life? And if it does, you're on track. And if it doesn't, then you don't have it right yet. And it's very much like an iceberg. The first time is not going to be, you know, the time that you lower the waterline 100% and it's all going to be out there. But you keep working on it. And that's the reason for rating it on a scale of 0 to 10. Because you know when it's a 10 that you're there. And this is something that it becomes a tool. Once it's that clear to you and that powerful to you, then read it every day. Remind yourself what your vision is every day. And you will find that you're achieving it little by little every day. It really is powerful, just becoming more aware of it.
Step number 4 is shifting perspective. And David, I just want to add that it's not just positive thinking that will help us realize our vision. It's positive action. So defining action steps to achieve your vision is really crucial. And we all know that attitude and perspective can have a significant bearing on outcome. So now that you've tapped into your vision and your goals, it's time to adopt an attitude of success, because you really can do anything you set your mind to doing. You can be as successful as you want. You can have your dream as big as you want. The only one who's limiting you is yourself. And that's what we do. So you just have to give yourself permission to step into the life you dream of. You've created it in your mind. Step into it. Move towards it. What I like to think about is the present and the future exist. So you're here in the present and you see that future point. Bring it to you. Just step into it. And I think awareness and a positive attitude will help you stay on track with those goals. And so often we stumble. And people say, oh, you know, I didn't do my affirmations for a week and this whole thing's not working. You know, just go back. Just don't worry about it. We all stumble. Just get up and get back on your path. Get back in alignment with your vision. Because you know where you're going. You've developed your roadmap. And the only thing that's going to stop you is you. So just focus on success. And just remember, you deserve it. You deserve to succeed in your life.
Step five is keeping the vision alive. Remember, this vision has power for you. You get energy from it. So keep it alive every day. Keep it in front of you. Tape it on your bathroom mirror in front of you in your office. Read it every day. And do something about it, you know, every day. Because it really will energize you and make you powerful. It will cause you to go farther, faster than you can possibly imagine. You know, trust me on this. You know, one day I had a vision for a training institute for relationship coaching. And gee, you know, I can't find one. Where do I get trained as a relationship coach? Well, I think, you know, this is so important, I better just do something about that. So I developed a vision for what that might be like. And now Relationship Coaching Institute is 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And I've accomplished something in my life that I just never imagined that I could or was capable of. And if I can do it, you can do it. I'm nothing special. I'm just a regular guy. And we are all powerful. We all can achieve great things in our life. We all can be happy and successful. Your vision will help you do that if you get clear about what it is and you let it energize you. You work on it, you focus on it, and you do something about it every day. You keep it alive. So those are our five steps for achieving your vision. So to recap, real quickly, step one is uncovering what's hidden, your hopes and dreams and your limiting beliefs. Step two is defining and analyzing the gap. Step three is clarifying your vision. Step four is shifting perspective. And step five is keeping the vision alive every day. That is what we have to say about how to connect with your life vision.
And, you know, I really love vision work because once clients have clarity in this area, they never go back to being uncertain and ambivalent. They really don't. And it's very empowering. It's a roadmap for your life. And it's wonderful.
What does one do, like most of us, we have created a living, not from our vision, but from the dollar bill. And now we find late in life that that's not really what we want. But how does one muster up the courage to drop that money, that dollar bill, and venture into their vision?
Well, you know, you don't really have to drop it, as in not be able to make a living. What you can do is to start following your vision, following your passion, developing a business out of doing what you love, creating the life and the business and doing the work that is your vision. And as you start generating income from it, then you can start cutting back on pursuing money just for the money part of it. So it's kind of foolish just to, you know, quit work to, you know, follow a dream. But it's also foolish to give up a dream because you're telling yourself you have to in order to make a living. You don't have to in order to make a living. In fact, the way to be successful and wildly successful and wealthy, both monetarily and and, you know, fulfillment is by doing what you love.
I think our job, every one of us, our job is to figure out what we want. That's all we have to do. What is it that's going to make you joyful and fulfilled? It's not our job to figure out the how. That's the law of attraction. That's the universe delivering on the clarity of your vision. So clearer you are about what you want, all of a sudden you will see opportunities present themselves to you that deliver on your vision, deliver on what you want.
Right, absolutely.
That's
a great reminder. Believe it or not, I mean, for people like me, it's hard to believe because I'm more, you know, involved in, you know, well, how do I do that? And it has to make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the way this works is the clearer you are on the what, the how does take care of itself. So if you don't believe that or trust it, just trust us on that because we've experienced that. The how does take care of itself the clearer you are on the what. And the what is your vision.
And sometimes, Will, you have to fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jimmy in Cincinnati is asking us to explain the holistic 360-degree view of life, which is in the study guide, but we didn't cover or mention.
Okay.
So can you take that on?
Sure. I mean, look at what's involved in your life. There's relationships with love relationships with life partner. There's family relationships, friendships. There's health and wellness. There's prosperity. There's career. All of those aspects are the 360-degree components of your life.
One thing that we're taught in coach school is about the wheel of life.
Yes.
And the wheel of life, and there's many ways to configure it, but if you just were to make a list of the major areas of your life, money and friends and family and work, sex, you know, however you want to create it, that covers your entire life. That's everything. Everything has a label. Everything has a category. And that is the 360-degree view.
Yeah.
That becomes the wheel of life. And then the way the wheel of life works is you rate each area on a scale of 0 to 10, and then you identify the gap. Say, well, if sex is an 8, then what's needed to make it a 10? And if money is a 4, what's needed to make it a 10? If work is a 3, what's needed to make it a 10? And then that's how you develop your goals and action steps. So that's a coach tool.
And I think, too, when you're creating your vision, your vision has to be about your whole life. And so, you know, it's not just one slice or one layer of life. It's the whole enchilada, right?
Yeah. How do you align your purpose, goals, and vision? How do you align your purpose, goals, and vision? So we have a vision. We have goals that are needed to accomplish that vision. We have a purpose. How do we make sure they're in alignment? That's a fair question. What do you think, Frankie?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, it takes a lot of work. This is not a snap. And if anyone thinks that sitting down, you know, for an hour, you're going to develop your life vision, your life purpose, and your life goals, it's not going to happen. It takes time. It takes self-analysis. Some of the exercises that we talked about will help you identify the vision.
We created a whole program to help you develop your vision and your purpose and requirements, needs, and wants in a relationship plan. We call that our Conscious Dating Relationship Success Training for Singles. So we've given you a slice of it today. We've given you some ideas and some exercises that will help. But if you do, you know, want support and you want the whole thing, then our Conscious Dating Program, you know, just sign up, ConsciousDatingProgram.com. And, you know, that is how you can, you know, really go through the step-by-step process to get clear on all this. Now, as far as aligning goals, vision, and purpose, you know, I think what I have to add to that question is when you're not in alignment, you don't feel good. It feels like something's off. And when you are in alignment, you feel content, you feel good, you feel fulfilled, you feel like you're on the right track. So it's really your feelings remember we talked about your vision being like your inner guidance system. So the clearer you are about it, the clearer it becomes about what to do about it and what the choices and resources are. And so when you are living it, when you are making the choices in alignment with it, it feels good. You're moving forward in the direction you want to go. It's very clear and very obvious. Imagine that you're in your room or your office, and imagine you want to leave. And imagine you're trying to leave by walking through a wall. You know, plunk. No, sorry. You cannot get out that room by walking through the wall. It doesn't feel good to try to do that. So you're going to turn. You're going to align yourself to go through the doorway. You're going to make sure the door is open. If you are clear about your vision, then you can see the door. You can see the doorway. You can open the door, and you can physically move through it. If you are not clear about your vision, then it's like having your eyes closed and walking into walls. I mean, literally.
Mm-hmm. Or sitting in the passenger seat and the car is going all over the road because nobody's driving.
Yeah. So as far as aligning your goals, vision, and purpose, I think that's our best shot at it.
I have a question about the collage. I noticed that, you know, for myself, and even when I write things down, that there is some kind of, sometimes, not always, but sometimes there's a kind of a disconnect, like I'm doing a homework assignment, and I'm no longer really looking in.
And yeah, just doing a task.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find that I don't know whether this is really what I'm feeling, you know?
Yeah, and the collage is, it's more right brain, you know, it's more creative. Mm-hmm. And writing something out is more left brain. You know, it's more linear and analytical.
Right, right.
And so that's why we're suggesting, you know, not only writing out your narrative, your vision, your perfect life, your list of things, but also doing the collage, because that takes you out of your head. That gets you in touch with, you know, you're tapping into that iceberg below the waterline.
You know, I just had an idea while you were talking. It just occurred to me, and I should draw a collage. Because I can't find the images in magazines. I can't find them.
Well, that's great. I mean, you
that's
know, if
I
you can
to.
Draw your vision,
yeah.
that would be wonderful.
That would be it.
And frankly,
hey,
maybe that's something that we can suggest as an alternative. I mean, a drawing, it works with kids.
Yeah. Absolutely. The other thing I wanted to comment on with the collage, it's a two-step process. Step one is being in the moment as you're flipping through magazines. Because the purpose is, in that moment, to get the reaction to those images. And when you have a reaction, you just pull out the page. Okay?
Okay, yes.
Then you go back, and you can either cut out the image or just put it on a board or on a table. So it's really the first step where you're really engaged and you're looking for your reaction to images or to words, and you immediately take them out and put them aside. And then you just spread it out on a board or a table, and then you take a look at it. And you see what it tells you.
Pretend you're in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Just have fun with it. Don't try to analyze it while you're doing it.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And so that's it for tonight. And thank you for joining us. And good night, everyone.
Okay, so you've been participating in Conscious Dating, How to Connect with Your Life Vision. Thanks for joining us. We will see you next time.